From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, Dr. Alan Cairns continues his series of studies in the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. In John 15, verse 26, and 16, verse 14, the Lord Jesus Christ explains to his disciples that the chief function of the Holy Spirit is to testify of Christ. In other words, the central theme of the ministry of the Holy Spirit is Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter 1, verse 11, the apostle speaks of the Old Testament prophets having the Spirit of Christ, as they wrote. This leads us to the truth that Christ is the key to the Old Testament. As Peter emphasized in his sermon to Cornelius, "To him, that is, to Christ, give all the prophets witness that whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." Dr. Cairns will come to the message shortly. First, he takes a few minutes to address the matter of suffering, a subject with which he deals more fully in his booklet called A New Beginning.
Now, here's a question I'm sure you've heard 100 times. If there is a God, and if God is all-powerful, and if God is a God of love, why is there all this suffering in the world? I heard a Canadian preacher, an apostate, Bible denier. But this is how he put it. He said, if God is all-powerful, then he has the power to stop all the suffering in the world. But he doesn't. So if God is all-powerful, is he a God of love? Because if he's a God of love, then he would want to stop all the suffering in the world. So either he's a God of all power, or he's a God of love. But according to this preacher, he couldn't be both. The question comes up again and again. If God is a God of love, why is there all this suffering in the world? There are many responses one could make to that. First of all, never forget that God did not create this world as a suffering world. He created this world and made it perfect in its first creation. He created man perfect. He placed him in a perfect environment. He gave him perfect happiness, free from all sickness, sorrow, death, and suffering. It was man's own sin that brought suffering into the world, that brought death into the world. Now, God has a plan that he has begun to put into operation. That plan centers in the person and work of his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, a plan whereby he is going to deliver, redeem man and this world from the groaning of suffering due to sin. That is, as I say, already underway. Until the Lord Jesus Christ returns, however, there will be suffering and there will be sin. The problem that men should be facing and the question they should be asking is, how can I be delivered from the sin that brought suffering into the world? How can I be saved from my sin that will bring me down to such suffering in a lost eternity as will make all the sufferings of this life seem nothing in comparison? That's the real question men should be asking. And the answer to that question, as I've indicated, is in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible says he suffered. God's answer to the sufferings of men is not simply to ignore it, but it is to send his Son into the world to suffer. He suffered the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. He suffered the results of our sin, though he himself had no sin. He suffered the wrath and the curse of a sin-hating God. He took our place, died in our stead, bore the guilt of our sin, paid the penalty for our sin. endured the punishment due to our sin. This is God's answer to sin. And that leads me to say that I tremble when people say, if God is a God of love. Let me remind you of something. After what God did in sending His Son into the world to die upon the center cross at Calvary, He need say nothing and do nothing to prove His love for lost humanity. Calvary is the great proof of the love of God for sinners. Instead of questioning God's love, bow before the cross and embrace God's love gift, salvation in the person and through the merits of His own dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you do, you will find that He is both all-loving and all-powerful.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. The response to these broadcasts has been most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the life, theology, and the far-reaching influence of the great reformer John Calvin. Three leading Christian scholars provide helpful insights into the work of this much misunderstood spiritual giant as part of the observance of the 500th anniversary of Calvin's birth. Also, this issue contains another in a series of articles about the founding fathers of the Free Presbyterian Church, focusing this time on the Reverend Cecil Maneri. The missionary focus is upon what the Lord is doing in the Czech Republic. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio. ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Alan Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, what is the best way to study the Bible? Is baptism essential for salvation? Or, how is the death of Christ relevant in the 21st century? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Turning this morning to the series of messages that we have been looking at and conducting for some time now on the person and the work of the Holy Spirit of God. Now this morning I want to direct your attention to the words of Christ in John 15 and 26 and John 16 and verse 14. When the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. I want you to emphasize those words. He shall testify of me. John 16, verse 14. He shall glorify me. The word basically is glorify, or boast of, or praise. It's the very same thought as Paul had in mind when he said, God forbid that I should glory or boast save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that we can use the word boast just to emphasize the truth that the Lord Jesus is teaching here. The Spirit of God boasts, glorifies, magnifies the Lord Jesus Christ. He shall glorify me, and he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. The Holy Spirit is truly God. Therefore,
All the works of the Holy Spirit are important, and they command the sincerest and most careful notice of all His creatures. But to us who are saved, the most important works of the Holy Spirit are surely those works which He does in bringing us into salvation. For without these works, we must live in sin and misery. We must die without Christ, and we must perish eternally. So the most important works, as far as we are concerned, of the Holy Spirit, are His saving works. And of all His saving works, there is one upon which all the others depend, and that is His gracious revelation and glorification of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now it is to this fundamental activity of God the Holy Spirit that I want to direct your attention today. I do so the more gladly because even in books upon the subject of the person and work of the Holy Spirit, this is a work which is mostly overlooked. There are a few exceptions among writers on the Holy Spirit's ministry, but they are the exception. For the most part, there is little attention given to this very important, I would say all important ministry of God the Holy Spirit. Let me make this simple statement this morning, and let us ask the Lord to write it on our hearts. I have emphasized the force of the word glorify. He shall glorify me. This is not just one of the activities of the Spirit equal with all the other activities of the Spirit. This is something that undergirds everything else that the Holy Spirit does. He has only one boast. It is right to boast if that of which you're boasting is something of which God boasts. Paul could say, I will not boast of myself. I will not boast of my labors. I will not boast of my gifts. I will not boast of my converts. I will not boast of my success. But he says, I will boast of the cross of Christ. The Holy Spirit similarly says, I will boast, and I will boast of Christ. The force of that word leads me then to this statement that the central theme of the ministry of the Holy Spirit is Jesus Christ. Now let me repeat that. The central theme of the ministry of the Holy Spirit is Jesus Christ. That is a very simple statement to make. But it is a statement with the vastest possible implications in every department of Christian experience. This morning I want to deal, as the Lord enables, with the statement and with its implications, and to try to bring it within the compass of one message. I want to go back in time as far as preaching style is concerned, and I want deliberately to employ the style of preaching that the old Puritans normally employed. It doesn't look to be very good style when you read it nowadays, but there was method in it. When they took a text, they normally introduced it, as I have done this morning, and then they set forth the doctrine. And then, from the doctrine, they set out the applications and the uses of that doctrine. This morning I want us to take this central truth, that the central theme of the ministry of the Holy Spirit is Jesus Christ. And from that, I want us to elicit the doctrine and then make application. Now, the doctrine could be put this way. Everything that the Holy Spirit does must be seen in the light of this central ministry, His revelation and glorification of Christ. Everything that the Holy Spirit does must be seen in this light. You see, everything that the Holy Spirit does relates directly to Christ. It is very interesting to find out when you read the Scriptures that He is called the Spirit of Christ. He is called the Spirit of Christ, first of all, in relation to the work that He did in the Old Testament. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 11, concerning the Old Testament prophets as they wrote the Scriptures and as they dealt with all the great subjects that the prophets dealt with, he said it was the Spirit of Christ that was in them. So all that he did in the Old Testament, he did as the Spirit of Christ. All that he does in the New Testament, he does as the Spirit of Christ. If the Spirit of Christ dwells in you, you're saved. But if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. This is a very important title of the Holy Spirit, because it's telling us that all that he does relates directly to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's the statement of the doctrine. Let's see how it works out in the Scriptures. You examine the works of the Holy Spirit, and just notice how every one of them actually does center on Christ. Let's take what I would say is a primary work of the Holy Spirit. These are, I suppose, all primary works. But of them all, this is one upon which all the rest depends. That's His inspiration of Scripture. You see, if the Holy Spirit has not inspired the Bible, you know nothing about God, you know nothing about Christ, you know nothing about yourself, you know nothing about sin, you know nothing about salvation, you know nothing about heaven, and you know nothing about hell. So, the fact of inspiration is basic to the whole of Christianity. Now, what does the Bible say about inspiration? It's the work of the Spirit. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is God-breathed. You will remember in one of the very first studies that I conducted with you in the person of the Holy Spirit that I drew attention to the fact that the very word Spirit in the original languages has the thought of Him being the breath of God. When we read that Scripture is God-breathed, we are learning that it is the direct and immediate production of God the Holy Spirit. This is stated in so many words in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21, where we read that holy men of God spake as they were moved, or as they were carried along by the Holy Ghost. So Scripture is the production of the Holy Spirit. Now, when the Holy Spirit gave the various books of the Bible, He had many, what theologians would call, proximate purposes, or immediate aims. There was an immediate aim in everything that the Lord said through Moses to Israel. There was an immediate aim in everything that He said through Jeremiah, or through Daniel, or Ezekiel, or any of the other Old Testament writers. But permeating everything that He said, the Holy Spirit, from Genesis to Malachi, from Matthew to Revelation, is revealing the Lord Jesus Christ. You take, for example, the Old Testament. Christ is the key to the Old Testament. Now, you may study the language of the Old Testament, and if you have the brains to become a master of the language of the Old Testament, God bless you. I trust that you will go and study it and use your linguistic skill. But never imagine that you know the Old Testament because you've learned Hebrew. Dare I say it? Why we are certain that it was the Hebrew original that came from the mouth of God and is the very breath of God. Why we are certain that every translation must go back to that Hebrew and be absolutely faithful to it, or at least as faithful as any translation can possibly be from one language to another. And while I would not undervalue the language, yet let us learn this, that the Scripture message transcends technicalities. And you only understand the Old Testament when you can use all your technical skill to see Christ in the Old Testament.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.